Thank you so much to our worship team. That was a wonderful time of worship this morning. Yeah, amen. Glory to God. Well, good morning. It's good to be back with you all. I've been on a little break, but there's no place like home. Sounds like Dorothy from Kansas. There's no place like home. It's great to be back sharing God's word with you all. So raise your hands if you were at the filling stations. You managed to catch one or more of the filling stations this year. They were good, weren't they? We had a really good time. And if you've never heard of the filling stations or you didn't manage to get along, let me just share just very quickly what the filling stations are all about. Well, churches together, Renfrewshire, get together in the summer for some summer sessions. And we are led by a vision that Pastor Hugh seeks the Lord every year, a motto, a vision, a topic, and I believe he already knows next year's. That's how organized he is. And every year, we have a different pastor, a different praise band. They will come and they will lead the sessions. And it's just a beautiful time. It's a wonderful time of unity and we come around God's word. Well, this year, the topic that Pastor Hugh gave us pastors at Churches Together was the presence of God. Could there be anything greater than talking about the presence of God? And in particular, we looked at opening up our senses. Our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our nose, our touch to the presence of God. And it was just wonderful. And as I started to pray with the other pastors at Churches Together, the Lord deposited a little picture in my heart. He often does that. It's like a little moving picture that he'll give me. And the picture that the Lord gave me was of a flower bud. And when the Lord gives me a picture, I lean in. And I encourage you to do the same. And as I leaned in, I said, Lord, what does this represent? And he said, that represents the people. This flower bud represents you, represented the people that were going to come to the filling stations and position themselves to hear from the Master. So as I leaned in and asked God to show me more, Holy Spirit, show me more. And what he showed me was that his presence was going to open us up like a flower. And he began to show me that little bud open up to his presence. You see, God can do magnificent things. There's magnificent things to see and hear and experience in the presence of God. So I don't know about you, but I had a fantastic time. I didn't manage all of them. But there's something of what we heard over the summer, I believe, is lingering still. And that we heard even last week that we are hungry for more of Jesus. So why am I sharing this with you? Well, at the end of last year, the beginning of this year, the Lord actually shared a very similar picture and word with me. He shared with me what he wanted to do. He wanted to open up our eyes in wonder. Who was at the ladies' conference this year? Yeah. Well, ladies, you're about to get a double portion today, because you will have heard some of this already. That's what we're going to look at. We're going to be looking at opening up our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our nose, our presence to the presence of God. We're going to open up our eyes in wonder. Church, it says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, Paul writes, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him? Well, there's more, so much more in store. So much more that the Lord wants to teach us, reveal to us, share with us. He wants to reveal his wonder. Everyone say wonder. Wonder. He wants to open us up in wonder. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at the wonder-working power of God. And I wonder if that's your prayer today. I wonder if that's your prayer today, that he would open you up like that flower in wonder. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 119, verse 18, open my eyes that I may see the wondrous truths. The wondrous truths. So let's look at what it means to open up our eyes in wonder. When you think of that word wonder, I wonder, you're going to get fed up with this, I wonder what wonderful things spring to mind. Perhaps it was holding your newborn baby. You were in awe, smitten. Perhaps it's some beautiful piece of artwork or it's creation as you stand in wonder and awe of creation. Perhaps when you think of wonder, you think of the seven ancient wonders of the world, perhaps. Or maybe more recently, the seven modern wonders of the world. Take the Great Wall of China or the Christ the Redeemer statue in Brazil. And I pondered the fact that today there are so many wonders, because when I did my research, I found out that there was the seven wonders of the underwater world. There was the seven engineering wonders of the world. I'm looking at you, Tim. There were many wonders. And I thought to myself, maybe we've become a little blasé about what true wonder is. Wonder, similar to beauty, is very much in the eye of the beholder. It's subjective. So I wonder, what are you gazing at today? What has your gaze? What are you in awe and wonder at today? You see, I'm interested. I don't know about you. I'm interested in what it means when God opens up my eyes in wonder. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of awe and wonder that I'm after, that I'm hungry for. Yes, we can step back and we can admire landscape and paintings, and Gordon will tell you when we go on holiday, I like nothing to better than dragging them through old churches and standing looking at local architecture, and yes, taking a walk through a vineyard or two, but nothing compares to gazing at the power and the wonder of God. You will find nothing in this world that will match that, because nothing compares to standing in awe at Him, in His presence, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple, as David said in Psalm 27, verse 4. You know, when we read those words of David's, you know where his wonder was. He was gazing, fixing his eyes on his Maker. He knew that there was beauty to be found in the presence of God. Beauty, treasure that can only be perceived through the seeking eye of faith. So church, what are you gazing at? Who or what are you in awe of today? Well, I want to turn to the Gospel of Luke, because I want us to ask a question today. And the question is this: how do we position ourselves to see and experience the wonder of God? And we're going to look at Luke's Gospel today, chapter 5, in an attempt to answer that question. So if you've got your Bibles with you, would you turn with me now to the chapter 5 of Luke's Gospel? I'm going to read verses 1 to 11 to start off with, but I would encourage you to keep your Bibles opened, because we're going to come to the end of that chapter later on. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, because I can, because I'm speaking, and I choose to read that one this morning. So, verse 1 of chapter 5, the first disciples. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deep and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. Amen. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Verse 8 now. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck. by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and they followed Jesus. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. This is an incredible story. This is the calling of the first disciple. So we know Simon's there, Simon Peter. He's mentioned there as the fisherman alongside his brother Andrew. And there was the other two fishermen there also, the sons of thunder, James and John. And the question we are asking today is, how can we see the wonders of God? How can we position ourselves to see and experience the wonder of God, the great and marvelous things that God has for each and every one of us? Well, what do we learn from the story? Well, the outcome was that there was an amazing miracle took place. An amazing miracle took place. The brothers got to see great and marvelous things on this particular day. You see, these fishermen, seasoned fishermen, I may add, had been out all night. They knew what they were doing, but they had caught nothing. And while they are washing their nets, probably feeling pretty disappointed, maybe even a bit worried, because without fish, there's no money. There's no profit. There's no money to put food on the table and perhaps pay for their taxes. So they're feeling pretty downhearted. And then Jesus comes along. Aren't you glad that Jesus comes along? And Jesus comes along and he makes himself comfortable in Simon's boat while Simon is washing out his net. Now, Jesus gets into a boat and gets pushed out into the sea because a crowd have gathered to listen to Jesus. That's what was happening. People were following Jesus. They were eager to hear him, eager to touch him. And he gets into Simon's little boat and he begins to teach. Now, we don't know what he taught. I'm going to ask him. I can't wait to ask him. When I meet him face to face, I'm going to ask him, amongst many other things, "Jesus, what were you teaching this day?" You see, he must have been teaching something pretty special, something pretty significant, because whatever it was he was saying made an impact. And there was a response to his words. So I'm going to ask him, maybe you can ask him the same, "Jesus, what were you teaching?" And he's there and he's teaching. And I believe that he was teaching something unlike anything that they will ever have heard before this point. And you see, the brothers, Simon and Andrew and James and John, they were washing out their nets. So whether consciously or unconsciously, what they were doing while they were washing out their nets is that they were hearing. They were listening to Jesus. What was it that they heard? You see, I believe that they heard something significant, something that caused these men not only to listen, but to respond. Church, do you want to see the wonder working power of God in your life? Then not only do we need to have eyes that are wide open to see, but we need to have ears wide open to hear. Jesus said, and it says in the book of Revelations, "He who has ears, let them hear what God is saying." So the fishermen were listening. When we open up our eyes, when we open up our ears, when we open up our senses to God, it is then that the Holy Spirit can transform us from the inside out. It is then that his truth penetrates our hearts and our eyes begin to open in wonder. As soon as you became a Christian, as soon as you opened your heart to Jesus and said, "Lord, forgive me, come into my heart," it was then that Jesus opened you up. And you were able to see and to hear with spiritual eyes and ears. Think about it. Think about your own life. Before you gave your life to Jesus, the Bible, was it just a dusty old book? But as soon as you gave your life to Jesus, those words began to jump off the page, didn't they? They began to speak to you. when you opened up your heart to Jesus and someone came up onto a platform and began to open up the scriptures and teach you. In that moment, you thought, is he, is she, are they speaking to me? Did they read my diary? Because God was speaking to you for the first time. Or whether it was a line of a song, a praise song that perhaps you heard all your life, but all of a sudden there it was. On the screen. Or in the old days, on the projector. And you thought, wow. Somebody's just opened up my eyes. Somebody's just turned the light on. The Spirit of God opened you up in wonder. That's what happened to the disciples. They were listening and they heard the word of God and it opened them up. And not only did they hear, but they responded. They obeyed. I've said many times that the prerequisite of being a follower of Jesus Christ, a servant of the Most High King, is not because you've got any power or wealth or status or position. No. It's, are you prepared to surrender your life to Jesus? Are you prepared to do what they did? Listen, trust and obey, to pick up our cross and follow Jesus daily. The Bible tells us that they were unschooled men and women with no power, no status, the majority of them fishermen or laborers. They were ordinary men and women just like us. However, what qualified them was the fact that they were willing to position themselves at the feet of the Master. They were willing to listen and to respond in obedience. Are you prepared to do the same? As ordinary men and women as we are we prepared to surrender our lives to God? The fishermen got to see this day the most amazing miracle take place. Jesus told them, go back out onto the water. Now, every time I read this, I'm amazed. They've been fishing all night. They've caught nothing. They know what they're doing. And then this guy comes along and says, go back out. They don't say, well, with all due respect, Jesus, we know what we're doing here. And we've caught nothing. They don't do that, do they? They immediately just go. It's because of what they've heard. It's because of being in the presence of the Master and listening to his word, which is alive. And it caused them to respond in obedience, go back out. And it was in doing so that they got to see the most amazing miracle. The passage tells us their nets were so full of fish that it started to break. Verse 9 again, we read that Peter was awestruck. In other translations, it says he was filled with awe and wonder. Say it again. Wonder. And he was filled with wonder. And it wasn't just him. Have you noticed that? They were all filled with awe and wonder. It says that the sons of Zebedee were also amazed. It's not just you that gets to see the wonder of God, but you too. We can all be part of this. What was it that led these men to witness such a wonder? Well, they listened to the voice of Jesus. Whose voice are you listening to? You know, not only did they listen, but as we've heard already, they obeyed. This was when we talk about not just being hearers of the word, but doers. You've heard that, haven't you? Not just hearing the word of God, but responding to the word of God. James writes in 1 verse 22, do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Somebody's been listening. We don't just want to come to church. We don't want to go to the men's meeting or women to women and settle in and hear a nice story. We want it to change us. We want to be changed by Jesus. If you're just coming along to church to hear a nice story, can I encourage you today to take it up a notch? Because there's actually more. There's more than just hearing a nice story and leaving and shutting your Bible at the end of the service and going, oh, that was a nice story. Can't wait to next week's installment. No. God's words, the word of God, has the ability to change us and transform. performance. You know, we pray together as pastors and elders in the prayer room before the service, and quite often we hear someone saying this out loud: may there be signs and wonders following the preaching and the teaching of the words. That's what we want. We want to see that, and that actually comes from Scripture. It comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. It says, and these signs, or you could see wonders, and these signs will accompany those who believe. Then in verse 20, because I want to say, then the disciples went out. They heard the word of God. Then they went out and they preached the word of God everywhere. Did they do it in their own strength? No, because it says the Lord worked within them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Amen. Jesus here is promising his divine power, which will be at work within us. We do nothing in our own strength. We are led by his Spirit. Jesus will work within you. He will equip you as his disciple. Jesus in this passage was teaching and he was preaching, and the word which is alive was transforming, and the disciples heard it, and it was that that caused them to go back out. But it was that that also caused them to lay down their life and obey. Do you want to see the great and marvelous things that God has in store for you? Then pray, Lord, open up my senses that you would see and hear him clearly. So what else do we learn about God's wonder from chapter 5? Because there's more. In Luke chapter 5, we read that the disciples positioned themselves not only to receive, to surrender and respond, and in doing so, they got to see so much more. And if you're interested in finding out, then go and read the Gospels. But we'll concentrate on just chapter 5 today, because we see more signs and wonders contained in this passage. In fact, we go on to hear about some amazing healing miracles in this passage. Verse 12 to 15, we hear of a man that was healed of leprosy. Think about it, an outcast, living on the outskirts of society. Nobody wanted to associate with him. He hadn't felt the touch of another human being for goodness knows how many years. Do you know what that feels like? To be alone. To be left on the outskirts. Maybe that's how you feel today. And then Jesus came along, and boy, did he open up that man's eyes in wonder. And not only did he open up this man's eyes in wonder, but he healed him. And everybody got to see it. The disciples that followed, they got to witness the wonder of God as he performed that amazing healing on that man's body. Then we read on in verses 17 to 26. What do we see now? What wonders did the disciples get to see here? Well, they got to see another amazing healing miracle take place. This time, a paralyzed man. A paralyzed man was made well. And time again in Scripture, we see those who came to Jesus in search of healing. We see Jesus responding with compassion and with love. He turned not one away. No one was left out. Even when many came, even when Jairus came with his daughter, but at the same time a woman came with an issue of blood, that didn't disturb Jesus. It wasn't Jairus' turn that day, not the ladies. No, Jesus had enough compassion and power to heal them both. So church, are you in need of a fresh touch today? Let me ask you, did you come here this morning with a pain in your body, in your heart? Is there a sickness that you're carrying right now? Have you been given a diagnosis? Are you worried about your health? Have you brought it to Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus can heal you? Do you believe in the wonder-working power of God? Perhaps it's a sickness that you've been carrying that you can't see. You can't put a bandage on it. If only you could put a bandage on it. If only I could put a bandage on it, then others would see that I'm carrying it. But maybe it's an internal pain. There's a brokenness. There's a disturbance. There's heartache or grief, or perhaps it's a mental health issue that you're battling with right now that no one can see, but you are suffering today. Can I ask you also, do you believe in the wonder-working power of Jesus? Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to heal you? How can I say today that Jesus heals? How can I say it today with such confidence? How can I say today with such confidence that I believe in the wonder-working power of God? Well, it tells us there. Jesus responded to each and every individual that came with compassion, and he will not turn you away today. If we take the story of the miracle of the paralyzed man, I know that you all love this story. The house is so busy. What was it Susan said at the beginning? It was heaving. It was heaving. A good old Scottish word. This house was mobbed. You couldn't get in. It was full. It was sweaty. It was a bit smelly. It was hot. Couldn't get through the doors. Couldn't climb in the window. But there was two friends. Don't you just love the friends that God brings into your life? There was two caring, loving friends that were filled, I believe, with faith and wonder. And they brought their friend, a paralyzed man, to Jesus. They pop up onto the flat roof and they get out a chainsaw. I don't know actually what they used. I doubt it was a chainsaw. I don't think there was a power supply other than the power of the Holy Spirit. And they cut a hole in the roof. And they lowered their friend to Jesus. Wow. And the Bible says that the man was healed. That's the wonder-working power of God. So are you desperate for Jesus today? Perhaps you're thinking, I look around this sanctuary today and it's heaving. I'm looking around, it's pretty busy in here today, and yeah, I believe that Jesus is powerful. I believe that he can heal. In fact, I believe that he might just heal a few folk in here today, but he might not heal me because it's mobbed in here today. It's busy. I know you can't see it online, but it's busy in here today. Maybe you're at home and you're thinking, but I'm not in the sanctuary. We'll let you off with that this morning. We'll see you next week. But maybe you're at home and you're thinking, maybe God will not touch me today because I'm at home. Let me ask you online this morning, do you believe in the wonder-working power of God? Because Jesus is here. That's all I'm going to say on the matter. Jesus is here. And we read in the story what was required for a miracle. They came in faith and they brought their friend, and the Bible says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. Note that he didn't say that your body's been healed straight away. He says your sins are forgiven. You see, you may come to Jesus with a list and that's okay. There's nothing too big for him and there's nothing too small for him. But here's the thing about Jesus, he sees right into your heart. He sees right into your soul and he knows what you need. Do you need him? Jesus knew that the healing of this man's soul was of most importance. Jesus can see into the depths of your soul. And if you've come here today and your soul is desperate to meet its maker, can I encourage you today? Jesus is calling you by name. He is here and he loves you. Can I encourage you to open up your heart to Jesus? If you've never done that before, it's simple. It's a prayer that starts, Jesus, I love you. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you died for my sins. Would you come into my heart? The Bible says that he heals our sins and our sickness. Both. Psalm 103. This man's sins were forgiven. What about his physical ailment? Well, he was healed also because Jesus can do both. And we read there at the end of this miracle, verse 26 now, church. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe. And they did what? They praised God, exclaiming, "We have seen amazing things today." Not one person was missed in that busy household. Not one person. They all captured the presence of God as he performed an amazing miracle that day. Lives were changed. People were healed because of the mighty wonder-working power of God. When we see God at work in our lives, we can't help but want to praise him and worship him. When we read of the word wonder in the Bible, in particular in the New Testament, the ancient language, it is tiamazo, which means to marvel and to wonder at the miraculous power of God. Church, what are you in awe of today? Are you filled in awe and wonder at the mighty power of Christ? Do you want to go deeper with Jesus and see the mighty wonder working power of Jesus in your life, in your friend's life, in the life of this church? Well, in order to do that, we need to position ourselves in surrender at the feet of Jesus, just as the disciples did. It was through surrender. It was through listening to the word of God as Jesus spoke on the Sea of Galilee. It was through listening, and not only just listening, but responding in obedience, laying down their lives. And yes, it took sacrifice. It took letting go of their nets and letting go of their jobs and letting go of their homes and following Jesus. And sometimes it comes with a sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice that's worth it because Jesus is worth it. And when we surrender our lives to Jesus, there's no stopping the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So we're going to come to the end of our sermon this morning. And the band can make their way back and to lead us in worship. What are we hearing today? Well, what we're hearing today is that Jesus is here. And he cares for you. He loves you. Do you believe in the mighty wonder-working power of God? Are you coming before him in faith and in wonder this morning? Perhaps today, like those that saw the great and wonderful things, you want to respond to God by praising him, just as we see the men and women in this passage. But what if you're here today and there is a sickness, there's a pain in your body, that you today are in need of a fresh touch from healing, of healing? Something hurts in your body today. Something hurts in your heart and in your mind today. You know, those who came in faith, they came boldly to Jesus. They didn't sit in their seats. They got up and they made their way to Jesus. Church, don't wait to the cross. Jesus is here and he's here now. Do you believe in the wonder-working power of God? Then it's time to respond. Don't just hear a nice story today. Don't just leave church this morning going, "That was a great story." Leave changed. Leave powerful, knowing that Jesus has changed you. Leave knowing that you've been healed in Jesus' name. So if there's sickness in your body today, don't carry it back out with you. If there is pain in your mind today and you are battling with depression and anxiety and fear and worry, don't take it back out the door today. Bring it to Jesus. Our prayer ministry team are going to come and they're going to get into position. But can I encourage you today? Come seeking God today in faith. Don't let pride or fear or worry keep you in your seat. Because there is healing in this place today. How can I say it with assurance and confidence? Because I see it in Jesus. I've experienced it in Jesus. So church, Let's stand together. Let's worship God for a little while. And let's come with faith, seeking God. So Father, as we begin to worship you now, Lord, we come in awe and wonder at you, because you are great and you are marvelous and you are powerful and you have the power to heal and you have the power to save. So we come today, Jesus. We come in faith. With hearts filled with faith, with eyes opened in wonder at what you can do. And we come to you. We push past our fear. We push past our pride. And we come to the altar this morning and we say, Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, open up our eyes, our ears, our heart, our nose, our mouth, our whole being, Lord. Open it up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If the prayer ministry team can come and get into position, thank you.